consider us friends, although we love you so. Who knows just what sound is going to be humankind's last? All we can hope is that it's as sublime as this podcast. You can know just whether you consider us friends or foe. We love you so. Rash Radio. Hello everyone, welcome to the Rash Radio Show. My name is Bradley Brash, and now I'll let my co-hosts introduce themselves.
I'm Martin Boswell Kerlamin.
I'm Elliot Goodbink.
I'm Octave Tantan.
I'm Vim Braille Jenkins.
Rudy Harrington Schmarrington.
Xavier Zavier.
My name is Slick.
Lionel Vanism.
Ovid Tamla Terry.
Sir Lord Baronet Dennis Hay.
Warren Remit.
Cornelius Gardjuardjuardjuardjuardjuay.
Hiram Porteous.
Van Woosley. McMarple Van Rip Vons Oliver Jim Borton.
Haynes. Haynes McTransmaster.
Well, my dearest friends call me Anon.
And me, Graham McSlut.
Very good. I hope you wrote them down at home, because in the interest of not boring you too much, we're only going to go through them another 5 times this episode. Hey, wait a minute. 2 of those voices sounded kind of similar. That's a bit confusing.
I think it demands an explanation.
I agree completely, Tantan.
Bradley, I can't help but notice that Warren Remit is deliberately avoiding your gaze.
Hey, Dobber.
I'm sorry.
Warren.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bradley.
What's going on?
Hiram's not here yet, so he wanted me to do his voice.
That's not customary, Warren. Although it is good to know that we have a master impersonator on our staff. So full points for initiative.
Oh, ta.
Could you do his voice again?
Hiram's?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Just let me get in the zone again.
Of course.
Hello, I'm Hiram Porteous.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Because it was so good, he should get to choose what's next on the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. Maybe, a bit about what's going to come next on the show.
Very good idea.
I wish I'd thought of that.
This week on the Rash Hour, Elliot makes an embarrassing confession.
I like to cross-dress as my wife, dressed as me.
Slick on the role of a lifetime.
It was really hard learning to say the rain in Spain stays mainly on the plain. But I think I did appreciate it.
And Vim Braille Jenkins eats his own weight in fairy floss. Or does he?
Sorry, Vim, you've only eaten 2/3 of your body weight.
All of this and so much more on The Rash Hour. Only on the internet.
Wow, it sounds like we've got a great show lined up for you. But first, Graham with the weather.
Thank you, Bradley. The weather on Earth today will be generally temperate and absolutely conducive to complex life forms, so remember to get out if you're among that number. A scorcher on Mercury, although cooling down to -195 in the evening, so please rug up. Don't forget to pack a brolly if you're travelling to Venus. They're expecting acid showers which show no signs of abating for the next 4 billion years. And deep space atop of 3 kelvins, a bottom of absolute zero.
And any end in sight for Jupiter's great storm?
I'm afraid not, but as soon as there's a change, we'll let you know.
I'd appreciate that. And what are you doing this weekend, Graham?
It's so nice of you to ask, Bradley. I'm going to marry myself.
Oh, how romantic.
Have you picked a song to walk down the aisle to?
Yes, this.
Break it down, then build it up. Like so.
All right, everyone. Time for roll call. Bradley Brash, you here?
Yes.
Tantan?
Yes, I'm here.
Elliot? I can see you behind Vim.
Here, sir.
Elliot.
We're the band for which the world was planned. We write more hit songs than there are grains of sand in the universe, every puny verse.
We'll touch your soul,
which will float itself on rock and roll.
A divided world will become whole.
From the RCA tower to the South Pole.
Now for a man loved by young
and all.
My name is Martin Buzzle Colemin. I love everyone like the distant kin that I know they are, from Rope to Kurtar. My wife looks a little like Johnny Marr on the cover of Select, but maybe I should collect my thoughts in a tall size memoir, because others wait to follow me. And anyway, my throat's crying out for anesthesia. Martin Buzzle Colemin. His story makes me want to see shake, makes me want to wake, makes my whole life want to begin, yeah. Now it's my pleasure to say that in a measure or two, a gent is going to come to you and say, Elliot, I meant you.
Me? Oh, very well. I think I'll elect to keep my section short, because I was taught to be a man of few words. IQ words to my babe, yes. Order new words about the cartoons of Norm McCabe, yes. But I confess that I'm not inclined to speak my mind so much today. Maybe it's because in a way I feel that I'm no better than you. Maybe to me self-mythology can never be construed as true. Or it could be that later in the show I'm the subject of a 5 or 6 minute interview.
Elliot, 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 Elliot.
That's my name. Well, apart from the repetitions. Now let me take you by the hand to meet the leader of the band.
I'm Bradley Brash, and I'm the boss. I run the tightest unit since Joe Loss. At any cost, in any case, I'm told I justify the human race. I'm mild and cozy, but lots of fun. I'm wild and cozy, rocked into one. I'm an ace on the triple bass. I got 17, I think, on my sace. If you don't love me, you must be in denial. Either that, or you've never seen me smile. Well, that's this man from B to B, and thanks to Tam Tam, who wrote this rap for me. You can do a bit now, guys. Will you sing about me?
Sorry, Bradley, we're just awestruck by that virtuosic display. Okay, boys, let's try it now. You're twice as heavenly.
Oh, that's nice. I've got some bad news, though. We've only gotten through 3 members of the band. The other 15 will have to wait for next week, okay?
Oh,
I
want
my turn. Oh, gee,
play us out, please.
We're Brash, fronted by Bradley Brash. Shaving strong, tell us if you think it's wrong.
So, Graham?
Don't talk over the outro.
Sorry.
Well, you should be. What were you going to ask?
Well,
yes?
You're going to walk down the aisle to an expository rap about our band.
And what is your problem with that, Bradley?
Nothing, it's just I thought volume 3 of the rap might be a bit better.
Oh, that'd be awful.
Okay, well, just a suggestion. Oh, and speaking of suggestions, this is going to be a mesmerising segment, because we've got Rash's resident hypnotist here, Haynes McTrancemaster.
Hello.
Now, Haynes, is that really your name?
No, you've caught me out, Bradley. It's just a stage name. My manager added the mic.
I see. Now, you're going to demonstrate your amazing powers tonight, aren't you?
I intend to amaze you all.
Oh, good.
I think that when you see the magic of hypnosis with your own eyes...
Or hear it with your own ears?
Precisely. I think that you will be compelled to admit that... The evidence cannot be dismissed.
Okay, well, we have a volunteer, Xavier Xavier.
Yes, that's right.
Double X, I think you're very brave to do this. Are you nervous?
Well, a little, but I've made a fool of myself plenty of times in the past, so...
I can assure you, sir, that you have nothing to worry about.
Well, Haynes, go ahead, cast your spell.
Okay, Xavier.
Xavier.
I just want you to close your eyes... And relax. Take a deep breath in. And now a deep breath out. And another deep breath in. And another deep breath in. No, sorry, out.
Look, he's doing just what he tells him.
That's right. Feel very relaxed. From the top of your head to the tips of your toes. How does it feel?
Nice.
That's good. That's very good. Now, when you're ready, open your eyes. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Open them. Wow, what are you going to do to him now? Now? That's it.
Oh, well, Xavier, that must have been a crazy experience. Do you have any memory of what happened?
He asked me to shut my eyes and breathe deeply in and out. Asked me if it felt good, and it did rather. And then asked me to open my eyes.
Total recall!
So, if you're interested, go and see the Haynes McTransmaster show, where you'll get 1.5 hours of this type of thing. Thank you so much, Haynes.
My pleasure, Bradley. I hope that now your listeners will understand, in a very deep sense, that the human mind really is a wonderful thing.
Not my wife.
The Rash Hour. Black America's CNN. We'll take an autumn stroll in the park. Go on the roundabout just for a lark. We'll run around, fall down on the soft ground, and catch the bus home before it gets dark. We'll take a blanket and plenty of food, a bottle of wine if it fits the mood. Oh, to be out there with nary a care, if no one's watching, we'll swim in the nude. The ducks and geese won't bat an eye, and not just because they can't blink. We'll have such fun though, me oh my. Mind if I borrow a bit of your zinc?
We'll take an autumn stroll in the park.
We'll play cricket with a big piece of bark. Oh, what a joy to do it all with you. And maybe next time let's bring out yours too.
The Rash Hour, now appearing in your daughter's lucid dreams.
You know, people sometimes ask us why our band is called Rash. Well, maybe here would be a good place for me to explain. One night I had a dream. A man appeared on a flaming pie and said to me, "From this day on, your band will be called Beatles with an A." "Thank you, Mr. Man," I said, and when I woke up, I told the band that our name would be Beatles with an A. But then we checked Old Music Guide and saw that there was already a band with that name, so we decided to call ourselves Rash instead.
A most satisfying explanation.
May the last sound you ever hear be me saying this. The Rash Hour. Somewhere between a sigh and a kiss.
And now for a song by our sponsored outsider artist, Verna Loosley.
I see Meg Ryan on the TV screen. I see her in Sleepless in Seattle. I see her in Addicted to Love. Meg Ryan, Meg Ryan, Meg Ryan, Meg Ryan. I send off for her autograph. I send it FedEx. I get a letter back with an 8x10. Signed with regards from Meg Ryan. Meg Ryan, Meg Ryan, Meg Ryan, Meg Ryan. Michael Parkinson, you are very rude. Michael Parkinson, you are very rude. Meg Ryan, she thinks you are very rude. In your heart, Michael Parkinson, know you are very rude. You sent Meg Ryan on a mad demon hell ride. You'll be sent back on a wild mad demon hell ride.
Thank you, Verna. That was an interesting song.
Yes, thank you, Bradley. To me, it was quite an arduous challenge to convey the breathless rush of film star fandom in this meterless, rhymeless sort of free association gumbo.
And it was a pretty wacky backing track.
Oh, yes. I'm very pleased to have had the chance to use the Dorian mode, which to me has a certain desperate cheerfulness, although I am aware that that impression is counter to what Pruitt and Slavin say in their writings on nerdology.
Now, you must have some terrible psychological problems to write such crazy music. What makes you sad, Werner?
Well, we are encroaching on rather personal territory here, Bradley, that I wasn't terribly keen to go down tonight, but if you must know, I do have a very deep sadness.
I thought so.
A sadness that the LSO didn't really quite capture that cheap Casio keyboard on its bossa nova setting sound, which I was going for. But I think that we outsider artists are always perfectionists.
Yes, quite.
The rash hour. More man than you'll ever be. More woman than you'll ever get.
Now, we'd love to hear from you, our fans, so if you have anything you would like to say to us, please give us a call on 0494-324-322-502-668-721-169-004-5216-7789-721-3-542-295-366-091-091-091. We made that number long so only our true fans would take the trouble to call in. Now as I was... Oh, a caller! Hello? Yes, this is the Rash Radio Show. Yes, this is Bradley Brash. Your name is... Oh, you don't want to say. You're shy. Oh! Well, I don't know about that, really. He already has 7 and anyway, he's allergic to rubber. Okay, well, you've been a good caller. You can call us any time. No, just when you want to call us. Yes, I know, the English language is a complicated thing. You know, sometimes I get intransitive verbs and ablative cases confused. No, only sometimes. Well, I thought it was quite brave of me to say that. And my friends do too.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, I'm not mad at you. Just watch it, okay? All right, see ya. Bye. Okay, bye. Now, in keeping with this interactive theme, how about some letters? Let's start with you, Martin.
All right. Dearest Martin, if you were a god, you would be 3 gods, each one more powerful, all-knowing, and lovely than the last. And even the feeblest of you would make Zeus look like a piece of gravel-shaped congealed sand. X, 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 O, 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 X, O, X, Z, X, X, X. Your future lover, parenthesis, if only in my dreams, semicolon, end parenthesis, Debbie Dice Clayton, X, X, X to the 90th millionth power. End of letter.
Well, that wasn't very nice, was it?
How dare she take Zeus's name in vain? Surely she knows that I've a very good friend who worships the Athenian pantheon.
That friend's me, isn't it, Martin?
It certainly is, Mick.
Oh, that's right. Didn't you convert for your wife?
No, my sister's boyfriend.
What about you, Vim?
Mine's a song.
Press play, dude.
If I had you tonight, I'd make you blue that you've been off the sea. Oh, so mean. If I had you tonight, I'd bring you to such a state. Must I wait? It would feel so.
Was nice.
Nice? Nice? I hate the key of B, and this bitch knows it. Burn the tape. No, tape over it with this. I know what you play. I know what you play. A 12 second grave.
Maybe I'll walk down the aisle to that.
Okay, but you've got to be quick.
And lastly, Hiram. Maybe you have one that's a bit nicer than those last two.
Well, here's hoping. Mr. Porteous, I hate you. You are boring, crazy, and all my friends like you, but I hate you, and I need new friends because they're... Oh, I can't say this next word.
Go ahead, Hiram, we're uncensored.
Oh, very well. Poltroons.
Your moustache should jump in a lake and your rubbish body with it. And while you're swimming in the lake, you should drown. Yours sincerely, hatefully, Anon.
Well, a bit of tough love there, but I can't feel too bad about something so well-reasoned. Yes, that's a beautiful letter. Thank you, Anon.
That's all right.
And now, the first in a series of profile interviews by Rush's favourite journalist, New England Lawson. This week, it is an interview with Rush's Busso Profondo, Vice Sack Buttist, and groundskeeper, Elliot Gould Binker. I am at his door, the door of the penthouse suite of the Tailem Bend Flag Motel that Elliot has called his home for these past 4 years. It, the door, is an exercise in formalism, a perfectly classical construction that would have pleased any of the elders of the Renaissance, and I cannot help but feel disappointed that Elliot, iconoclast par excellence he is, enters and possibly leaves his dwellings through such a petite bourgeois portal. I don't know what I had expected. Maybe the airlock of a recently dredged U-boat, or a two-scale simulation of his own vocal cords. Or a two-scale simulation of mine.
So sorry, old boy. I seem to have misplaced my trousers.
Speaks Elliot as he opens the door. The first thing one notices after Elliot's penis, which is somehow longer and thinner than I had expected, is the warm gleam in his eyes. He gives me a look as if we are old enemies reunited at a retirement home. Me 96, he 98. An unlikely bond forming as we realize that everyone else we had is gone. Momentarily he forgets me, for there are bigger things preying on his mind. He ambles past me and fetches his breakfast tray, sitting by the doormat. As he eats, he ponders whether today he should save the world or write a minuet, before realizing that maybe the two are one and the same thing. He laughs with immaculate modesty at my suggestion that he may be the modern-day Lord Byron. After all, he points out, he is only an earl. He spies an ant that has wandered into his suite, possibly instinctively realizing that Elliot is the Saint Francis of the insect world, or would be, if only he realized it himself. I ask him if he is worried about male pattern elbow baldness.
Aren't we all?
I then inquire of his modest beginnings.
Oh, he is very modest. I remember when I took my first steps, everyone said, "Well done, Elliot," but I just said, it's nothing much, just basic bipedal locomotion. After all, I was 9.
He grins at what I cannot divine. Maybe if pressed, he could not tell me what caused such a muscular spasm. Is he grinning to keep from grimacing? Has his mind wandered back to that deep, dark time when he was 2 unjoined cells in each of his parents' loins, the period this author remembers as his happiest? What a mind, I say to myself, in all of the Indo-European languages, living and dead. An intellect such as this is surely deserving of a question that requires his full resources to answer, so I decide to ask him what kind of a tree would he like to be. Dare I ask him? I ponder all possible answers. Why be a tree when I could be a forest? Maybe I am one already, one blessed with such camouflaging skills that I can deceive even myself that I am in fact a rock-rolling mammal of the Homo clade. A strange fear grips me, so I instead ask, what's your favourite Yevgeny Yevtushenko book?
The House at Pooh Corner.
I tell him I think that was A.A. Milne.
Well, you think one thing, I think another. What's important is that we respect each other's opinions.
I scream at such calm wisdom, and he replies with the sympathetic,
isn't it?
And now, Elliot's aides, give me a gentle but excruciating pat on the shoulder and tell me my 16 hours with the great man are over. I can scarcely believe it. It feels more like 16 days pilgrimage into the soul of vertebrate and invertebrate kind. Elliot outstretches his hand, and I don't know whether to shake it or kiss it. Instead, I choose what at the time seems like an unhappy middle ground, but now seems just right. I spit on it.
How European!
Says Elliot, looking at a wasp. That night, he calls me and says he wants to be my best friend. Thank you very much, Lawson. Now for a song from our latest album, Rush's Seventh, a treatise on the urban-rural dichotomy, encompassing diverse facets, parallels, paradoxes, and several discursive adjuncts. This song is called One Horse Town, but if you want to give it a nickname, that's okay too.
In my town I've travelled round and seen it all. Trod round every sacred ground and port of call. Yet my soul remains among those lonely plains of my one horse town, the place I adore home. In my town I've seen Paris, and it's quite gay. In the toaster's done I see, and it's okay. But as good as them, they just can't compare with my one horse town place I adore. I love the dust that fills the air, the smell of DDT that grandmama sprays on her garden. Itself a sight to see. I love the car in my youth offered me that reprieve. In fact, it's just the horse and tree that I can take or leave. Some men have to search the world to find the spot where their dreams can differ. So lucky was I to be born right in my beloved one horse town, a place I don't know.
Well, that's just about all the time we have for now. Next week on the show, Negative Land perform Unplugged, Rudy Harrington-Schmarrington attempts to count to a million, and we ask you, dear listener, what is your least favourite form of animal empathy? Till then, bye-bye. Say goodnight to the folks, guys.
Now we're through, hope that you can take our bidding adieu. We must head on now, after taking one more bow. Now you wake, now you take one big breath and start to shake. Like an overstressed dam at this one last jam.
Boosh-a-da, 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 boosh-a-da.
Someone gets off of their seat and presses repeat.